This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, we talk with Melissa Hamilton. Melissa is Executive Director, Government Relations, Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers. We'll talk with Melissa in just a moment. First off, Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State Livestock Economist on Markets.
Nothing's really changed in terms of the overall picture we've been talking about for quite some time. Cattle numbers are getting tighter. We're still looking for indications of, you know, the industry's interest in herd rebuilding. Weather conditions continue to be important. We've had a lot of moisture in some areas that's going to provide more forage potential, I think. And so we'll be looking for that, those indications coming forward that we're beginning some heifer retention. But the bottom line is we've still got nearly record high prices in a very broad-based sense, and we're going to continue to see those and actually push them higher as we go forward.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and joined today by Melissa Hamilton. Melissa's Executive Director, Government Relations, Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, TSCRA. Melissa, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay. It's been an interesting year already for agriculture and for livestock producers, and it seemed to hit ahead, if you will, a few months ago with wildfires across the Texas Panhandle, something you never want to see, but wow, the relief there that's poured through the TSCRA Disaster Relief Fund, amazing, right?
Absolutely. The fund raised collected in donations over $1.3 million. So I think that's really a testament to the ranching community in Texas and across the United States.
Something else that can cause generational effects as well is a different kind of wildfire. And these are wildfires of either a legislative type or possibly just a regulatory type. How important is it for TSCRA to be on the front lines, if you will, fighting those kind of fires?
I think it's absolutely critical. Anything, there's usually a multifaceted approach, and there's not just one solution. It's many different groups and people and entities working together to each work on a part of that to come up with a total solution. And we've been really fortunate at TSCRA to have some really great champions and, just great folks to work with at the Texas legislature and in Congress from our Texas delegation.
Let's start with one, and this is actually one that was a reversal and involved an easement, Gillespie County Ranch. Kind of set the stage for us. What happened there, and tell us about the reversal.
Absolutely. So one of the things that TSCRA does, in addition to the legislative work that we do at both Austin and in D.C. as well, we also try to help our members on the judicial front with cases, with court cases. And so this first one actually was a case. Some of our TSCRA members reached out to the Austin office and brought this issue to our attention. And so what the issue is, very broadly speaking, is there's a ranch, it's in Gillespie County, and Gillespie County, like a lot of Central Texas and the Hill Country, has seen really massive growth in the last few years, maybe last decade. And part of that growth has resulted in subdivisions. So once big ranches are now being subdivided into lots for subdivisions, and a lot of times these subdivisions now sit right next to ranches that have not been subdivided. And so what happened in this case is the Bloxhams have a ranch, and there was a ranch next to them, and the two ranchers had worked together for years, but then the ranch next to them was sold, and a developer bought that. And the developer asserted an easement. He claimed that there was an easement across the Bloxhams' property. And it's important to note at this point that there is no written easement in this case. So the Bloxham said there was not an easement. The developer said there was, and said that there had been some kind of verbal agreement throughout the years between the parties. The Bloxhams deny that. And anyway, so this developer, who, by the way, also had another right of access. He just wanted to use the Bloxhams ranch because it was more convenient. But he asserted that he had an easement to bring not only trucks and tractors and trailers and traditional farm equipment across the Bloxhams property, but also other bigger equipment. And so this ended up in court. The Bloxhams said that this developer did not have an easement. He asserted that he did. And what happened is that the court said, basically granted this developer an easement, a prescriptive easement, so a forced easement, basically, across the Bloxhams ranch on summary judgment. And so what that means is, without hearing any evidence in the case, without having a trial by jury or a trial at the bench, so without any trial and without offering formal evidence, the judge just went ahead and ruled in favor of the developer and basically gave the developer that easement. That is a problem for many reasons. One, once that prescriptive easement is created, it lasts on and on. And second, it seems really concerning that you would create that kind of right-of-way, or that right to that kind of right-of-way, without a trial on the merits, where you let people present evidence, especially in a case when there's not a written agreement creating the easement. But what's even, I guess, probably more concerning than that is that this is part of a trend we've been seeing in areas like Central Texas and the Hill Country, where there's massive growth. Ranches are being sold and subdivided. There's an increasing trend for trial courts to give easements to developers and others across private ranches on summary judgment without ever taking the issue to their peers via a trial. So there were kind of a couple, you know, really three things going on: the concerns about the individual case, and then the broader issue of the fact that this seems to be a trend. And so the Bloxhams took their case up on appeal. They appealed the trial court summary judgment and said that the trial court should have, at minimum, given them a trial and let them present evidence and have a jury of their peers make the decision about whether an easement existed or not. On appeal, Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association became involved. And one of the main reasons we became involved was because of that broader issue I was talking about, which is this new trend of trial courts granting easements across ranches via summary judgment. So TSCRA wrote a letter brief in support of the Bloxhams and basically said, here's the case law, here's the precedent. And for all these reasons, if you're going to force someone to have an easement across their property, you need to make that decision that an easement exists or should exist only after a trial, and that it is a mistake to grant an easement on summary judgment. So we wrote a letter in support of the Bloxhams, and the Bloxhams, and I think really property owners, ranchers across the state, had a really big win because the Court of Appeals from Amarillo reversed the trial court. They sent it back, agreeing with the Bloxhams and with TSCRA that at a minimum, that court has to hold a trial and let a jury of the Bloxhams' peers decide whether an easement exists or not. And if you think it's odd that a court of appeals from Amarillo made the decision in a Gillespie County case, that is because there is a procedure that the Court of Appeals in Texas have that allow them to help each other out to alleviate strains on the docket. So the Amarillo Court of Appeals stepped in in place of the court that would normally have heard this case out of Gillespie County.
Now, again, just shows the importance of having a contract. And it works both ways. There was no contract here and no written agreement. But there was a written agreement in a different one. This one involving oil and gas leases. And I know TSCRA is involved in that. What's happening on that front?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is a case that is still before the courts. It's there's been a request for the Texas Supreme Court to hear this case. And it's the case that's referred to generally as the Cactus Water case. And so what this case is really about is ultimately does produced water qualify as groundwater? And the reason that's so important is because there is a long established Texas case law that in Texas, the landowner, the owner of the surface, owns the groundwater. So that's a longstanding principle. What has happened is that there has been a challenge to this recently that says that the challengers have said that when you're producing basically an oil and gas production, when some of that groundwater is drawn up, that it actually belongs to the oil and gas companies and not to the landowner. And obviously, TSCRA's position is no matter how you get that groundwater out of the ground, even if it's mixed in with something else, it's still groundwater and therefore belongs to the landowner and not to the oil and gas company. And so it's going to be before the Texas Supreme Court. The two lower courts have ruled in favor of the company against the landowner. And so TSCRA, along with some others, have petitioned the Texas Supreme Court for review to hear that case.
There's so much going on. It's hard to keep up with it. If you've got a full-time job working cattle, especially, is that where TSCR really steps in and is able to kind of keep up with all these different things that are happening and the challenges for the industry?
I think so. And, you know, I think it's really the ag community in general. But I think TSCRA has really, one of the benefits that it really brings to its members is the ability to step in on these individual legal cases in different fronts, whether it's Texas Supreme Court or a court of appeals, to step in and help landowners that way. I think it's one of the best benefits that we offer and makes TSCR a valued member of the agricultural community.
Well, if you want to keep up with TSCRA, you can find them online, tscra.org, tscra.org. Melissa Hamilton is Executive Director, Government Relations with the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Melissa Hamilton with Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers online, tscra.org.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the Seal of Cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the Seal of Cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
Support for producers of dairy cattle infected with the H5N1 strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack Friday announced a series of measures, including...
To protect against the potential for spread between humans and animals, we're going to be providing financial support, up to $2,000 per affected premises per month, for producers who supply PPE to employees and or who provide outwear uniform laundering, for producers of affected herds who facilitate the participation of workers on the farm in a USDA CDC workplace and farm worker study.
In addition, support is available for biosecurity planning and implementation.
To enable them to develop biosecurity plans based on existing secure milk supply plans that they have on the farm and recognizing the individual nature of their farming operation.
USDA will also provide $100 for producers to purchase and use an inline sampler for their milk systems. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.